Well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
God is good.
All time.
Pleasure to be back today. First, some special guests who were acknowledged, but who are great friends of mine and colleagues of mine and are doing great work. Lori Cumble, let's give her another round of applause. Tom DiNapoli, who's a great controller for the state of New York, my colleague. I have my counsel with me. I don't go anywhere without my lawyer, Alfonso David. The secretary to the governor, Melissa DeRosa, is here. She's the top-ranking officer. Let's give her a round of applause. It's a pleasure to be with the congregation. It's a pleasure to be here with the good reverend and celebrate his third anniversary. He had some big shoes to fill. Reverend Clarence Norman Sr. was a beautiful, beautiful monument to this city and state. A great friend of my father, and they did a lot of work together. So I feel for the Reverend having to fill big shoes. I know what that's like. Always being compared. Well, he's good, but he's not like his daddy. But I've heard the Reverend is just phenomenal. But I got to see it. And I got to see it sitting right there. Smooth. First started with that Congressman Akeem Jeffries is in California raising money so we can do some things in Washington in the fall. Smooth. No politics there. He was talking about a church revival in Washington. That's how I took it. That's what I thought he meant. I didn't see any politics in that statement. No. And then I've had suggestions made to me before. Gentle, pithy, but that was like the old sledgehammer approach. Governor, when the collection basket comes by, can you put $15 million in that basket, please? God bless. God bless the Reverend. $15 million. His face didn't even move. He looked me right in the eye. Said, $15 million. Those Georgia boys are tough, I'll tell you. From all those pecans they raised with. $15 million. Whew, my heart is beating. I don't have $15 million on me, Reverend. I don't know if you're going to turn off the microphone. But the Bedford Armory is a great project. And Carrie Gabay was a beautiful, beautiful counsel with us. And anything I can do to help, I will do. And we will get on it because it is a priority for the community. So thank you for raising the Reverend. Our regards to the Reverend's mother. We hope that her injury is not serious and she rebounds. Good news is it happened in the state of New York, and with our health care program, we will cover it, Reverend. We will take the cost of the coverage from the $15 million, however. Also, our regards to the First Lady, Brenda Bloodshaw, and let's give her a round of applause. But I thank you for giving me some time today. And as the Reverend said, this is serious. This is not just politics as usual. This is not just another political season. The debate we're having with this president is really about the type of country we want to be. This is about our values, our beliefs. This is about our character. Now, he came to office with a very specific vision. And after a year and a half of taking his actions, you now see the outline of the America that he wants to bring to us. And it is a frightening portrait. Trump's America is one of division and intolerance. The most defining symbol in his America, the first thing he started talking about was that he wanted to build a wall. He wanted to build a wall along the southern border. First thing. But the wall really isn't just about a wall on a southern border. That's not the signal he was sending. That's not what he was putting out there. What he was saying was more insidious. It was more divisive. It was more ugly. He was saying we need to keep them out. That's what he was saying with that wall. Well, who are they that we have to keep out? They are the poor people. They are the people who speak a different language. They are the people who worship a different God. They are the people who have a different sexual orientation. And we have to keep them out. That's what he is saying with the wall. He doesn't understand the fundamental concept of America. That Statue of Liberty is in our harbor, and we take it seriously, saying we welcome you here. We accept you here. We do not judge you here. We open our arms. We embrace you. That is America. He doesn't understand that we are they. And we are just a collection of them from different places with different cultures and different languages and different skin colors. The president started in his campaign and he was selling. And he was selling the forgotten people in the country, remember? He was selling the working men and women. And he was going to be there for the middle class and the working men and women who were left behind. First thing he does when he gets into office is what? He passes a tax cut, 80% for the richest of the rich Americans, and he has done nothing for the working class and the middle class. Trump's America. He is blind to the suffering and pain of gun violence. There have been over 500 mass murders since he has become president, and he has turned a blind eye to all of them. He has no appreciation for the gun violence that happens out here on our streets every night and every weekend. How many young minorities have we lost to senseless gun violence? But for all the president's bluster and for all his tough talk, the truth is he's afraid of the NRA and he genuflects to their lobbyists. That is the truth. Trump's America disrespects women. You had thousands of women stand up and show the courage to come forward with the Me Too movement and speak about the sexual harassment that is endemic in our society. And this president did nothing. And if a woman dares to speak up, then King Trump attacks her. Amoroso Manigault Newman now. Work in the White House. He hired the best and the brightest. Now she speaks out against him, and she's a dog and a lowlife. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, one of my favorites from Los Angeles, Congresswoman, 27 years, African American, powerful woman. She speaks out against him. She has a low IQ. Crooked Hillary. At least he doesn't discriminate between Democratic women and Republican women. He ran against Carly Fiorina, Republican. He said, with a face like that, who could vote for her? He disrespects women. The Trump America enables hate and discrimination. He so emboldened the white supremacists that when they showed up to rally in Charlottesville, they didn't even bother wearing a hood. Think about it. They were so bold that they didn't have to cover their face because they were accepted and they felt empowered by this president. And what did he say after the rally and the counter rally? He said, well, there are people, on, good people on both sides of the issue. Mr. Trump is the great divider in chief for this nation. And I have news for Mr. Trump. There are no good white supremacists or KKK members. Mr. Trump's America, the points on the compass are not north, south, east, or west. They are sexism, racism, bigotry, and intolerance. Now that's Trump's America. In New York, we have a very different vision of what this country is supposed to be all about. We believe in the promise of equality and opportunity. We believe that it's not just a vision, it's not just a dream, it is a reality, and it's our responsibility to work every day to make it a reality. And that's what we're doing in New York. We have not reached a perfect place, we understand that. But we get up every morning with God's graces, and we try to make this place a better place. We try to make ourselves a better person. We try to find a problem and fix it and solve it and perfect it and evolve as a society. And New York has always been at the forefront of that evolution. And I am proud of it. My father was governor for 12 years. His question was always, how do we make ourselves better? How do we make the state better? How do we lead the way forward? How do we show the other states the direction to go? How do we set the bar a step higher? And that's what we're doing. That's why we passed $15, the highest minimum wage in the United States of America, to say working people count. That's why we passed the first in the country free college tuition to a public college, so every child can afford to go. That's why we passed paid family leave, so you don't have to choose between your job and taking care of your family. That's why we passed the SAFE Act, the strongest gun control law in the United States of America, because we're tired of seeing people getting massacred on our streets. That we believe that we can have a strong economy, but we can have an economy where everybody participates. That's why we have the highest goal in the country for minority and women businesses to be included in all our contracts. We believe it is insanity to keep locking up our young people. And that's why I am proud to have closed more prisons than any governor in the history of the state of New York and provide alternatives to incarceration. We believe health care is not a luxury. It's a human right, and that's why we're investing $1.4 billion here in Brooklyn to have a state-of-the-art health care and wellness system. And I'm proud of it. Now, people say to me, well, Governor, that's New York. And you people in New York are different. And you see things differently. I don't believe that it's New York that sees things differently. I think this is the essence of the American promise. I think New York is not discordant with America. I think this president is discordant with America. I believe this president is un-American. I believe it's un-American to give cover to white supremacists. I believe it's un-American to deny people's basic right to health care. I believe it's un-American to deny a young person's dream to go to college. I believe it's un-American to discriminate against a person because of sexual orientation. I believe it's un-American to take babies out of their arms of their mothers because they want to come into this country. I believe it's un-American to put children in cages. I believe it's un-American to lock up refugees and tell them, if you come to this country, we're going to torture you to make sure you don't come back. And we're going to take your children and fly them someplace you don't even know. That is un-American. Don't tell me there's any American in this country who would stand up and justify that behavior. That's not who we are. It's not our character. It's not our soul. I believe it's un-American for this president to be spreading the division among us when it was his job to bring unity to all of us. Now, this is not a new moment. You look back in history, there have been times that when there would be someone who would seek to divide and sow the seeds of fear and try to turn us one against each other. Try to take our differences and make them a weakness instead of a strength. Try to take our differences and make them a point of fear. But every time that happens, there are voices that stand up to counter with a message of tolerance and inclusion. And I have a message for the president. Mr. Trump, I've known you for 30 years. You may be a slick salesman who fooled many people in this country, but you didn't fool me and you didn't fool New Yorkers. We know who you are, and we're going to rise up and tell this nation the truth about who you are. Because when a voice of division is raised, the chorus of unity must rise in response. And when a voice of anger and hate is raised, a chorus of hope and love must be raised in response. Martin Luther King said, "I've decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear." Now, New York has a special obligation to stand up for two reasons. Number one, because we are New York, and we have a legacy of leading the way. Number two, because New York is the state that gave birth to this president, and because we know him and his type better than anyone else. Every neighborhood has one. The scared, small man in the house with the high fence and the shiny mailbox. Afraid of people who are different. Afraid of people who have a different religion, who speak a different language, who come from a different place. The person threatened by the diversity, who then uses anger to hide his fear. But New York quells the fear, and New York overcomes the naysayers, and New York rises above. As we sit here today, we are in the midst of that struggle. And we say, Mr. President, you are not taking this nation back in time. Because we believe our best days are ahead of us, not behind us. We believe we can make this a more perfect union and a more just society. We believe we have more work to do. We have to reach our promised land of equality and opportunity for all. And we have more children to educate, more health care to provide, more affordable housing to build, more schools to build, more prejudice to end, and more wrongs to right. And we will not allow you to bring us back. And we will not allow you to make our diversity a source of weakness, because it is a source of our great strength. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. New York State is the alternative state to Trump's vision for America. And we will bring the light, and we will overcome, and we will vindicate this nation's better angels together. Thank you, and God bless you.